I want to be learning Likutei Sichas Chelek Chaf, the second Sicha for Parshas Vayetze. So this is the Rashi Sicha, and it's going to be discussing the dream that Yaakov had at the beginning of the Parsha, where Hashem tells him that the land that he's lying on is going to be given to him, to his children. Pasuk says, the land that you are lying on will be given to you and to your children. So the Gemara has a shaila on this particular promise that Hashem said that the land that he's going to be lying on, it's going to be given to him and his kids. So the Gemara asks, this is the Gemara in Chulin Sadik Aleph on the base, my Rebuse. And what's the chiddush over here? What's it adding? As Rashi explains, Is Hashem promising to Yaakov that the four amos that he's lying on will be given to his children? That's the promise. I mean, we already have Avraham Yitzchak who promised the whole land. Over here, Hashem's telling him that the arts that you're lying on will be given to you. What would be the chiddush in that? What is that adding? It's only Dalet amos. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak explained, teaches us that Hashem folded up the whole Eretz Yisrael, the Nicha Tachas Yaakovina, and placed it under Yaakov. According to some gears, today, the word kedei is in parentheses, kadesh, and the purpose of folding it under Yaakov was in order that it'll be easy for his children to be able to conquer it. As Rashi explains, kadalad, just like the four amos of where a person sleeps, so just like it's easy to conquer the four amos, Hashem folded it under him in order that it'll be easy for his descendants to eventually conquer it. So that's how the Gemara explains it. Meaning is, what is the Rebusa? What is Hashem telling her? It's only Dalan Amis. So he says, Ahechinami. He was only talking lying on Dalan Amis, but those Dalan Amis contain the entire Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem was telling him that it will be easy for his children to be able to conquer it. That's how the Gemara explains it. The Medrash asks the same question. This is the Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk. The Medrash Rabbah says a little bit differently. It asks the same question, but it finishes off. It's like a person that says that it's under your head. And as the Mefarshim explains, just like when there's an item placed under a person's head, he has complete control. He has complete balabatishkeit over it. He has control over that item. Same thing Hashem was telling Yaakov, that Eretz Yisrael is under your control, as if it's under your head. So Bapashas, what does that mean? There's two ways of really understanding this Medrash. So Bapashas, what it means, one way of understanding it is that Hashem wasn't giving him Eretz Yisrael at that point of time. Rather, he was giving him the Balabatishkeit. He was giving him control over Eretz Yisrael. Just like when you have an item which is in your control, you're able to use it however way you want, it's under your control, it's under your Balabatishkeit. Similarly, Eretz Yisrael will be under your Balabatishkeit, starting from right now. And eventually, of course, the Yidden will conquer it hundreds of years later. The second way of learning and understanding this Medrash is that actually, it wasn't that he just gave him the Balabatishkeit and the control over Eretz Yisrael, but he actually made a kinyan that he acquired Eretz Yisrael. So the Ragachavir and other want to explain that it says in the Gemara that by lying, that if a person sets up his sheet, he sets up his bed in a place that he's trying to acquire, let's say it's a house, he wants to acquire the house, and he sets up his bed and lies down on that bed. That is considered making a kinyan by setting up his bed and lying down on it. That would be considered a chazakah, and therefore, thereby he acquires the house. So similarly, by Yaakov lying down in Eretz Yisrael, that actually made a kinyan of Eretz Yisrael. The Rogachava asks, though, on this explanation, the halacha is that when a person sets up his bed and lies down on it, it's kind of, it's only if he sets it up after he was given the land, meaning is, I sold you the land, or I gave you the land, and then you set up your bed and you lie down onto it, that is considered a kinyan. But if the bed is already set and you lie down on the bed, let's say the house was given to you, and then you go to the master bedroom and you lie down on the bed, that would not be considered a kinyan because you didn't actually make the bed. You actually have to set up the bed yourself. So l'chayr over here, Yaakov was first lying down on the stones, and then Hashem came to him in the dream and told him he's giving Eretz Yisrael. So he didn't set up his bed initially. He was sleeping there. So the Ragachavir tells us an interesting idea. He says that we find in the lachas of Tumah Vatara that the lach is, let's say, by Zava, by different types of tumas, that when they sit on a particular item, they sit on a chair, something which is made for sitting, I should say, or something which is made for lying down on, that when they sit on it, makes that item tameh, it makes everything under it also tameh. It's called Mishka V'Mayshav. But the lach is that when that item is something, it's a chair, but it's like a chair b'shasat kak, meaning it's not comfortable to sit on. So the rule is that if it's a chair that's not comfortable to sit on, then b'shas, you're actually sitting on the chair, then it's makabel tumah and everything under it's tameh, whatever touches the chair will become tameh. But once you get up from the chair, then the chair loses its, it comes tahar again, it loses its tameh status. Meaning, since it's not a mamish, a real chair, a regular chair, if someone who's a dov sits on it, it becomes tameh until you follow the procedures. You wait 7 days, you put it in the mikvah, whatever the procedures are to make something which is tahar. But when it's something which is not really a chair, it's a chair of shasat chak, then it's actually only going to be tameh when you're actually sitting on it. Once you get up, then it loses that tumah status. So the Rakat Shabbos said the same thing about Yaakov. Yaakov was lying on stones. So what makes these stones into a bed? It's because Yaakov was actually lying on them. So when he was lying on these stones and making these items into a bed, that makes it into a bed. But as soon as he would have gotten up, it would have lost the status of being a bed. So he says, therefore, really, every moment that Yaakov was lying on it, that was remaking this item into a bed. As he calls it, this is a pu'ula nimshachas. A pu'ula nimshachas means that the pu'ula continues going, that it's not a one-time act that you set up the bed and now the bed is there. You set up a proper sheet, it's a nice mattress, then it's a bed already. And then when you lie down, you're not doing anything extra making it into a bed because it's you made the bed one time and now the bed is there. Masha Enkin, when it's something which is uncomfortable, it's you have to be constantly thinking about that this should be a bed. You have to be miyachadit. But you have to be miyachad these items to be a bed. You actually have to be sitting down or lying down on this item to actually make it considered a bed or a chair at the moment that you're sitting down. Therefore, the second you get up, it loses its status. Therefore, this is a pu'ula nimshachas. The pu'ula that you're doing, which is lying down in our situation, has to be continuously going on in order to make this into a bed. So therefore, he says, by Yaakov, since he was lying down at the time that Hashem gave him the land, so therefore his continuous lying down on this bed would actually be making, would be remaking the stones into a bed at every moment, and therefore he would be able to acquire it. Interesting idea, the Rebbe brings that off. But either way, let's just recap what we said. The question is, what is the chiddush that Hashem is giving Yaakov the dal ramas that he's lying on? So the first answer we brought was from the Gemara, that it teaches that Hashem folded the land under him, and the purpose of that was, in order that it would be easy to conquer the land would be easy to conquer to his children, just like the Dal Aramis. So by folding it under Yaakov, that actually made it easier for his children to be able to conquer it, just like it's easy to conquer the Dal Aramis. According to the Medrash says, why did Hashem, what's the Chiddush? So it says the same thing, that it teaches us that Hashem folded it under him and placed Gan Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov, but the purpose was in order that it should be under his Balabatishkeit, it should be under his head, which we could explain in two ways. Either could just mean Balabatishkeit, or it can mean even more than that, like the Ragat Shavar, the others want to learn, not necessarily in the Medrash, but they learn this B'chalal in the story, that it means that there was a Kinyan that was made by through lying down in this area that actually made a Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's the Gemara in the Medrash. So how does Rashi on the Chumash learn it? So we look at Rashi on the Chumash. So he brings on his Dibra Maschel Shoy Chivala. So it doesn't bring the same, the Gemara brings the Pasuk, Ar Tesher Ata Shoy Chivala V'Gomer. So Rashi doesn't bring all those words, he just brings the words Sheikh of Allah, which will be relevant in a moment. And he writes and explains, Kipol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Eretz Yisrael Tachtav, Hashem folded Gan Eretz Yisrael under him. Remezlai, this is a hint, it's a hint that it'll be easy to conquer, this land will be easy to conquer for his children. So what is Rashi saying? So, Reif Meforshei Rashi, understand that Rashi is saying exactly the same thing as the Gemara. Let's look at the Reim. The Reim gives two explanations for Rashi. First one he doesn't like, the second one is what he keeps. The first way of understanding Rashi, and I guess the same thing in the Gemara, and that it's saying very something very pashut, that Hashem was telling Yaakov, just like if you wanted to conquer Dal Aramis, it's something which is very easy to do. Similarly, your children will easily be able to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael as if it was just four Amis that they needed to conquer. But the problem with that is, I mentioned two problems, but I'll just say one of them, is that, and then what's the purpose of folding Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov? Just tell him, just like it'll be Dalit, just like it's easy to conquer Dalit Amis, just like the land that you're lying on will be very easy for you to conquer. Similarly, your children will be able to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. Why did Hashem literally need to fold Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov? Just tell it to him. If the purpose was just to tell him this remes, to tell him like a haftacha, basically a promise, like just like these Dalit Amis will be easy to conquer. Similarly, in the future, what was the purpose of doing this miracle, of folding it under him? Doesn't make sense. He says, rather, the pshat is that Hashem literally folded Eretz Yisrael under him, and by folding Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov, that actually made it easier for him to be able, for him and his children eventually be able to conquer the land. And he explains this through an idea of that the Ramban brings. The Ramban explains that many times you'll see by Nevuahs that Hashem, there'll be a prophecy, a Nevuah, and then there needs to be a physical act or a physical representation of that particular Nevuah. And the question, of course, is why? Once Hashem gives a promise that something is going to happen, for example, you're going to be successful in war, why does the Navi then need to do some type of physical act to, like a symbolic act to show how they're going to be successful? For example, I think this is, I don't remember which, I think it was Yeshai, but I'm not sure. One of the prophecies were that the Navi tells the king that you should go out to war and you'll be successful. And he tells him to shoot an arrow. And then the king's Yara, the Yara, and he shoots the arrow. And the Navi tells him, Chetz Chu Allah Hashem, that this is the arrow of salvation from Hashem. Meaning is that this arrow that you shot, that will be like the arrow of Hashem that's going to make you successful. Why did they need for him to shoot an arrow and say, just like you're shooting this arrow and it will, you know, hit its mark, you know, similarly, there's a Chetz Chu, you're going to be successful in battle, that Hashem's going to go out with you in battle. Why do you need that physical representation? So the Ramban explains is because a Nebuah, there's how the Nebuah is b'koyach and potential and how it is b'payah. And the purpose of making a physical representation is because that brings the b'payah, at least it brings the haschola b'payah. And it's explained in places in Chassidus, is because when a promise is given in Shemayim, there could be many menias v'yikurban until it comes down begashmis. So of course it's going to happen, but there can be many delays, there can be many things that block it for coming. You could have the satim, which is makatrik, you could have the bimus adim, which is makatrik. There could be many reasons for it to be delayed or not come down to a later point of time. Also, how it's going to come down, is it, you know, if it's in all of its glory and less than all of its glory. So by making a physical representation, that already started the process. Meaning is that there won't be these minuus yekuvim because it already began. It's like it's over. The court case is done. We're not waiting for the court case to happen. It's not going to happen. Not like we need to have a din v'cheshbon with the satan and the argument and the beis din shemayla. The arrow was shot. You already will be successful. The war has begun and you'll be successful. So the Rain wants to say the same thing here, that it wasn't just that Hashem was promising Eretz Yisrael to Yaakov, he was actually doing more than that. He was actually starting the process, saying, you're lying down. By lying down on the land, that will, and this makes it easy for you to conquer. The land was literally under Yaakov. So the land was very, literally very easy for him to conquer. So Hu Adin, for his children, it will literally, physically be very easy for them to conquer. So that's how he wants to explain the Gemara, and he also says this is the Pshat in Rashi. So, of course, according to the second shot, it's not just a remez. He was literally making it easy. He put a certain koyach in the land that will be easier for the Yidden to be able to conquer it in the future. Okay. So, of course, the first problem doesn't need to be said, probably, that Rashi changes the lashon. Rashi says it is a remez. So, according to the Reim, how is he has to kind of squeeze in his pshat into this lashon of a remez. Remez, the pashas just means that it's a hint of what will occur in the future. But according to the Reim, it's not just a hint of what will occur. This is actually it's making it easier at this point of time to be able to be conquered by his children. So the first point is the Gemara says it's kedei shetei neichda, and it's an order for it to be easier to be conquered. While according to Rashi, it's a remez. So what's the difference? Why does Rashi not learn like the Gemara? Why is Rashi saying it's just the remez? Rashi Enkei the Gemara is clearly saying that it's kedei. And to prove, the Rebbe brings two proofs besides this idea of remez and kedei, because clearly the Meforshim understanding of remez, I guess, like through this that he was making it easier for, you know, they're kind of explaining remez to mean the same thing as kedei. He says he has two proofs that Rashi's not explaining it like the Gemara. First proof is because Rashi on the Chumash is written for a five-year-old. So he explains things even more than he would explain things in the Gemara. So in the Gemara, Rashi felt it necessary to explain that, what does it mean that it'll be easy to conquer? It says, Kedalad Amas Shemashkavi. Rashi explains that it'll be easy to conquer like the Dalad Amas of where you lie on. Rashi doesn't say that on the Chumash. So Papashas, it means that Rashi's not learning the pshat that he gives in the Gemara is not the same thing that he's not the same thing that he's saying in Chumash. So he's not saying this idea of Kedal Am. So in the Gemara in Echonami, it seems like Rashi's learning that it's going to be easy to conquer, just like the Dal Amas may be easy to conquer. Mash Enkin and the Chumash, where he doesn't say anything about the Kedal Amas Shomashkavai, it's mashma that it has nothing to do with the Dal Amas. And he's giving a different type of explanation of what this means, as we'll see later on. So the Kof LaKadosh Baruch Hu, and making easier, is not because it's that he folded it under, and just like it's easy to conquer Dal Amis, all Eretz Yisrael will be easy to conquer, but rather it's telling us a different Vart. And the second idea is, in the different Maschil, if Rashi's bothered with why would Hashem, Ha'aretz Asher Tashreichem Aleiha, that Hashem's giving him just the land that he's lying on, then he should have quoted those words, Ha'aretz Asher Tashreichem Aleiha, he's a Myra Busa, what's the chiddush that he's giving him the land which he's lying on? But Rashi doesn't mention those words, he only says the idea of Shreichem Aleiha. So it's this Seir force, it's understood that that this question of Myra Busa is not a Shaila according to Rashi, rather, there's a problem, there's a question in the word Shreichem Aleiha which he's coming to address. So it's not the problem which is in the words Arsashrat Atai Sheikhabala, which the Gemara has, Myra Busay. Rather, it's a shverket that he has in Sheikhabala, and of course we need to understand what that would be. And similarly, when it says Shtein Nechal Likavish Labanov, we know that it'll be easy for him to conquer. We don't know that because of the how big the land is. Like you're only lying in four Dalet Amos, therefore it'll be easy to conquer like Dalet Amos. Rather, it's actually from the word Sheikhem Aleiha itself. So it's not like, going to be like the Re'im and how the Gemara is learning, that it's that Hashem was putting it all under him, and therefore it'll be easy to conquer like the Dalet Amos. Rather, it has nothing to do with the Dalet Amos. It rather has to do with this concept that Yaakov was lying down. It'll be, you know, as easy to conquer as someone who's lying down, as we'll see. Okay, so let's just recap. So we have the Gemara. The Gemara is learning that it was literally, it was making Yaakov be able to conquer it. Or, sorry, not Yaakov, but his children to be able to conquer it. We had the pshat of the Re'im. So, you know, even before the Re'im, you know, you can learn Kippapashtis that somehow by Hashem folding it under Yaakov, that would make it easy for it to be conquered. Somehow. Or as the Re'im learns it, that's because Hashem's already bringing the Haftacha somehow, somewhat down into this world. And therefore, it will make it easy to be conquered like the Dalet Amos. But Rashi does not hold of that, because again, he doesn't bring it, he brings it as a remez, and he doesn't bring anything about the Dalet Amos, and the Divrei Maschil is not in the words Arta Shatecha Sheikha Balaha. Okay, so the first thing we understand is, why doesn't Rashi learn the Gemara? Why is he giving a different shat? Especially since the Gemara makes L'chayr more sense than Rashi. Hashem is doing a very great miracle. He's taking all of Eretz Yisrael and he's folding it under Yaakov. So if we're saying why did he do that? Because that's starting the process of the conquering. It's making it easier for his children to conquer the land. Then it makes sense why Hashem would do that. But if the purpose was just to give him a remez, then why did he have to fold all of Eretz Yisrael under him? Why couldn't he just tell it to him? Like, this is the question the Re'im had. Why does Hashem need to fold Eretz Yisrael under him and tell him, like, just like it's the land that you're lying on, you know, similarly, they'd be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael in the future. If it's just a remez that'll be easy, why do the miracle? Just tell him. You're lying down on the ground. It's easy to lie down. Your children will easily be able to conquer the land. What's the chiddush of putting Eretz Yisrael under him? Why does that add in any way in the remez? You know, and the chayr, we see Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Abraham many times, and he gives him any remezim for him, but he never actually made a miracle of this type of sort in order to give him a remez for the future. He just told, it was a promise. So why by Yaakov would he give a remez? So this is the Shaila. Hey, part one is really, why is Rashi not holding like the Gemara? And question two would be is, what is the pshat in Rashi? You know, he doesn't like the Gemara's pshat, but how is his pshat any better? What is the pshat? You know, the L'chayr doesn't fit so well. Okay, and the third thing, of course, we need to understand is, why doesn't Rashi hold like the Medrash? The Medrash seems to be saying a very good shmak of pshat, that the purpose of Yaakov lying down, that was to make it M'chuzek Kasi B'yaday. So why didn't Rashi just say that? He was lying down on the Dalet Amos, and Hashem says it's given to you is in order for you to be M'chuzek Kasi B'yaday. Okay. And the Rebbe actually brings that from, you know, makes the question even stronger that we actually see this concept earlier on by Avram Avinu. That by Avram Avinu, Hashem told him, "Kum hisalech ba'aretz, la'arko l'rachem kedei l'akilachot." Then they should go walk around the land, the width and the length, in order that it will be given to you. But Rashi doesn't bring. So meaning is that by Abraham walking through the land, he walks through the land. What was the purpose of Abraham walking through the land? So the Gemara says it's in order to somehow make it easier for his children to conquer it. That by Abraham walking through the land, it will be easier to conquer. There's a machlokes in the Gemara from Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer says that wherever he walked, he actually was kainet. But according to the Rabbanan, he didn't actually kainet. You can't make a kinyan to walking. But rather, it was this remez in order that it'll be easier for him to be able to conquer it. And the Rashbam explains, is that it was more of a spiritual type of idea. That by walking around the land, it was as if Avram was already the Yerush, and as if he already inherited the land. He's like, showing this balabatish kind of as if it's already his, and therefore, would remove the kitrug of the satan. I wonder if you maybe explained the same idea of the Ra'im. By showing this balabatishkeit, by walking around, that it's already bringing the ownership of the Yidden down to a certain degree, and therefore it would remove any ketrugim lamaila because the process already has begun. But Rashi and the Chumash doesn't bring that down. So according to Rashi and the Chumash, what was the point of Avraham Avinu walking the land? Elamai, what was the reasoning? The idea was that Hashem wanted him to to walk around to show a balabatishkeit. It was the same idea of the Medrash, that by lying down on the land that shows a certain, it's mechuzekas v'yad, you have complete control over that area where you're lying. So similarly, by Avram walking the length, the width, that shows that he has balabatish kaidu land. He can go wherever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. So, not, well, can't do whatever he wants. It's still, of course, personal property. But the idea is he can go vu and vi ervil, where and how he wants to go. And nobody will stop him. So that shows a balabatish kaid. So the question is that, why doesn't Rashi just learn like the Medrash, that similarly by Yaakov, he's lying on the ground, that's showing balabatishkeit. Especially since L'chaira Rashi already holds of this concept that we see by Avraham Avinu. That when Avraham Avinu was walking the Ark L'Rochva, what is the Pshat? Rashi doesn't say. So therefore we have to learn that it means Bepashtus, because we know that Avraham didn't own the line yet. It was rather to show the balabatishkeit that it's L'chizekas Iviyodai, that he has a certain control over the land. So those are the three questions that we have. Okay. Before I go weiter, I just want to point out one Teres Chaim that the Rebbe brings at R12. He brings it again at R18. Interesting, Teres Chaim. And just to summarize what we said so far, in short, just to appreciate this Teres Chaim, we've been saying we have the Gemara learns that the purpose of Yaakov, the purpose of this L'chat Nana was in order to make it easier for his children to conquer the land. According to the Medrash, it was Hashem was giving him balabatishkeit over the land. So it's two different ideas. One was a union of a chazaka, and according to the Gemara, it's the idea of in order to make it easy for the children to inherit it. Teres Chaim wants to, according to his pshat, the Gemara and the Medrash, his pshat is on the Gemara, but according to the way how he explains the Gemara, the Gemara and the Medrash would actually be saying the same idea. The way how he understands it is that by lying down, that would make a kinyan, and by making a kinyan, there wouldn't be any iruin, there wouldn't be any issues in the future because Yaakov already and Bnei Yisrael would already own the land. To explain a bit more what that means, he brings the Rashbam that we quoted. But just like by Avraham Avinu, we said that what was the purpose of him, the Gemara says, what was the purpose of him walking through the land? It was to show this balabatishkeit, and therefore he would look like a Yairish, and therefore it would mean that spiritually the land was already given to him. Hashem was giving him the land, and therefore he's showing his balabatishkeit over the land, and therefore it's as if it's already his. And therefore that would stop the satan from being mekatrik. It already became bepeil, so the satan, the midas din, won't be able to mekatrik, because the process already started. So he wants to say the same thing by Yaakov, that what was the purpose of Yaakov lying down on the land? And I'm going to add a little explanation the Teres Chaim, because I think this is what he's saying. He's saying it's al derech Avram. I don't think he's saying that it's al derech, but it's to remove the kitrug of the satan, because that was already done according to his pshat by Avram Avinu. Rather, he's saying it's one step further. That's not just that there won't be a kitrug mitzad the midas hadin and the satan, but rather even more than that, Yaakov will make a kinyan mamish. He will literally own the land, similar to the Ragel Shavim. There will be a kinyan mamish on the land. It belongs to Yaakov, and that would stop any kitrugim from the umas ha'olam. That the Umas Ha'olam will come to complain, this land is our land. No, by giving the Chazaka over to the Bnei Yisrael, that means the Bnei Yisrael already own the land. And therefore, by owning the land, it'll be easy for them to conquer because the Goyim know that it's not really theirs, it's really the Yidden. And, he doesn't explain the psychology of it, but that either is because they'll be honest and give it to the Yidden because they know it belongs to the Yidden. They know that Hashem gave it to us and it's already been decided, he already gave it to us. Or they'll kind of give up hope. You know that Hashem gave us the land. How can you fight against a land that Hashem has given to the Yidden? So that would make it somehow easier for us to conquer. Either way, the point is that there was a kingdom, and that would make it even easier for us to conquer. So that would be another way of learning it. So the Rebbe wants to say, first of all, to say that the Medrash and the Gemara are saying the same thing is somewhat difficult because they're both stressing different points. The Medrash is stressing the idea that it will that it's mechuzekes biyadei. Masha'enken in the Gemara doesn't mention anything about mechuzekes biyadei. All it says is that it'll be easy to conquer for his children. So if the point of the Gemara was that Yaakov's making a kinyan, and through that Yaakov making a kinyan already belongs to the Yidden, and therefore it'll be very easy to conquer, he didn't need to really he doesn't need to write the idea of Lavanah. It could have just written that he nichatachas in order that it'll be easy to conquer. It doesn't really make a difference. It's for Yaakov or his children. The point is that Yaakov made a kinyan. By making a kinyan, it belongs to us already. And therefore, since it belongs to us, that will make it easier for it'll make it easier to conquer one day. This that it's for easier for the children is not really relevant. It's that Yaakov did something that now it's right now at this at that moment in time is already easier to conquer. Yes, the pile, it would be the children would be the ones conquering it. But it didn't make it easier for the children. It made it easy, but wow. So why write the words Lavana? So L'chaira, the Pasha, the Gemara is trying to stress that it didn't make it easier for Yaakov Avinu to be able to conquer it. The Gemara is saying is that it would make it eventually easier for his children to be able to conquer it, but not for Yaakov himself. So the Teres Chaim is a little bit hard to understand why only for his children would have made it. He just should have just used the lashon of that to make it easy to conquer because the kinyan that was done, the banav would actually seem to be a very a side point. Hashenkin, according to the, let's say, the pshat of the Re'eim, then it does make sense because the it would be making it easy because since the promise was that eventually the children would be able to inherit it, so therefore the process started now, so therefore eventually the children would be able to inherit it. But it's not ever going to be making it easier for Yaakov himself to inherit it. It's not at that moment in time that it became easier. It will only be in the future when it became relevant for this prophecy to be fulfilled, then it would be easier for the prophecy to be fulfilled. So that's one issue with the Teres Chaim, that to, you know, to kind of combine the two of them. But what's wrong? But let's say he's Etzim Pshat. What about the Etzim Pshat? Regardless if it's exactly what the Gemara is saying, but let's just assume, let's say the Pshat of the Medrash, that the point is that he had a kinyan, and through having a kinyan, now it's easier for the children one day to be able to conquer. He says, Al derech ha-pshat, it's very difficult to say that because nobody knew. So it's this that Yaakov knew that Hashem folded the land under him. How would that be pale in a natural way that the Goyim won't argue about this many generations afterwards? Especially, you know, according to some who say that this whole thing actually was just a dream anyways. So basically, the only one who knew, hey, the only one who knew about it was Yaakov. No one else knew about this, that this kinyan happened. So why would that change anything for the Umas Ha'ilam? And Bechlal, like, just because Hashem promised something to Yaakov, then the Umas Ha'ilam won't fight about it, won't make a kibush for it. It's somewhat difficult to understand how by Yaakov making a kinyan will that all of a sudden make the Goyim say, you know what, you made a kinyan, of course it should go to you. A, how would they know? And B, why would that actually matter to them, even Tivi, in a natural way? Right. That's why he points out that even according to the Rambam, when he says this vort by Avraham Avinu, he doesn't say that by Avraham Avinu walking the Ark of the Rachba, that'll make it easier, that the Umas Ha'Elam won't make an error on Avraham Avinu's thing. No, it's that the it's like the Satan won't do it. Okay. He says even more than that, Rashi doesn't even bring the vort of the by Avraham Avinu. Meaning is that even this the vort of the Rashbam, that's somehow making it easier because of the Satan, the Umas Ha'Elam, this whole idea does not fit up Pshutei Shemikra, that by Hashem making a promise or making a kinyan with Yaakov or with Avraham, that would somehow make it easier for the children to be able to inherit it, as if the Goyim would just accept that there was a kinyan. So, but if in Tibi, what was the point of it? You know, you're making a kinyan, but anyways, you're going to have to conquer the land. So who cares? Okay, so that's that was that was the Teres Chaim. But let's get back to the main sicha. So the main thing in the sicha is, let's start with 1.1, is why doesn't Rashi learn like the Gemara? The Gemara says it's in order to make it easier, literally, for the children to be able to inherit it. So the Rebbe says the word is because of derech pshat, it's hard to say such an idea. That through this, that Hashem would fold Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov, this house will sometime, will cause the pu'ula of being neichel lekavish levanav after many generations. Meaning is, how would this help? How would this help by folding it under Yaakov make it easier for his children? Up shot. Like, what is it? How does that even make any sense? You fold the land under Yaakov, that's not, somehow it's going to be easy now to conquer. So he gave a pshat of the Re'eim. But the Rebbe doesn't like the pshat of the Re'eim, because the pshat of the Re'eim, that is that you have a haftacha from Hashem, and then you need to have some type of physical manifestation in order that this haftacha will be able to break through all the kitrugim and come down in a physical way. That's all. That's what al-derech ha-drush, al-derech ha-kabbalah, maybe even. But this is not something which is pshutei shamikra. Pshutei shamikra is that when Hashem gives a promise, we know what's going to happen. And v'haraya, Rashi says when Hashem, by the Brisbane of Sermon, when it says that Hashem said, I've given you the land. So Rashi says, what does it mean that Hashem has given us the land? That Amir Sakadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu Yisir. When Hashem says he's going to give the land, it's as if it's already given. So if I've given you the land, Avram didn't have the land yet. But he says, it's if it's done, because the promise of Hashem is so strong, it's for sure going to happen. So this whole idea that it needs to, that Hashem is a promise and there could be spiritual minuus v'yikuvim, that's not something which is pshutei shemikra, that's more al derech hadrush. But I'll be cautious, Hashem gives a promise, of course it's going to happen. So therefore, it's hard to explain the idea of the Re'eim, this whole idea of the physical and the spiritual, from the Koyach to the Paya. And Lamai, we're saying, is that the actual folding under Yaakov, that's somehow would make it easier to conquer. So how would that make it easier to conquer? Not very clear. And he rather puts in parentheses, Alachas Kam B'Kama, or Kam B'Kama, there's Lachas, many generations afterwards. And then he brings on the bottom, by those parentheses, he brings the Taurus Chaim, which says it's because he made a kinyan. But again, how would a kinyan that Yaakov Avinu made, the meaning is how al derech hapshat, this that Yaakov knew that for a moment Hashem folded it under him, that would affect naturally many generations later that they wouldn't come to complain about it. You know, maybe at that moment of time, people knew about the prophecy, maybe had, but like hundreds of years later, that our great-great-great-grandfather had a dream, and you know, it's naturally that wouldn't make a difference. Okay, so therefore, Rashi doesn't want to learn like the Gemara, because the Gemara is learning that somehow by folding it under Yaakov, that would make it easier to conquer, and that is al derech hapshat. Why? Why would folding land under Yaakov make it easy to conquer for him and definitely for his children? Okay, so let's get into the biur of the Rebbe itself. So the biur, what we're going to see is going to answer the two questions. Why doesn't Rashi hold like the Medrash? And what does it mean that it was a remes? So regarding the Medrash, it seems like the Rebbe is going to be explaining the Medrash more that it's the idea of Muchzdekasi B'yada. He's not learning the Medrash that it's a Kinyan Mamish. If the Medrash means a Kinyan Mamish, then the Chal is not a question why Rashi doesn't hold of it, because according to Pshuta Shemikra, the Avos and the Shvatim, they didn't actually own Eretz Yisrael. The ownership of Eretz Yisrael only happened hundreds of years later when Eretz Yisrael was conquered. At that point of time, Pshuta Shemikra, they didn't own Eretz Yisrael. There are many nations living there, and it wasn't actually, didn't belong to the Avos yet. They might have had a certain Balabatiket over it, but they definitely did not have actual ownership of the land at that point. So if he means a Kinyan Mamish, of course, that would explain why he wouldn't hold like it. But let's assume that the Medrash means Muchzekasi B'yodeh, that he had a Balabatishkai, which that would fit. We see this idea by Abram, so also by Yaakov, he would also have a Balabatishkai. So we're going to see that Rashi actually does agree with that. That part of what was going on over here, folding the land under him, was giving a certain type of Balabatishkai over Yaakov, but Rashi's not satisfied with the Pirish of the Medrash. Means he's saying more. He's saying, of course, what the Medrash says. Of course, that's included in my pshat, but my pshat includes what the Medrash says, plus it's adding another point. Okay, the pshat. So what was pshat? What was bothering Rashi? What was bothering Rashi is the words themselves of Sheikha Balah. The Chayra, the question of the Gemara Myra Buse, it's not really a question of pshat Shemikra, because Pashtis, what was the Pasuk saying? The Pasuk was just giving was giving a simon, was giving a tzin, like telling us where Hashem was telling Yaakov which land he's giving to him. He says, I'm giving you the land. Which land am I giving to you? The land which you're lying on. So meaning, but the land, with the hey idea, the land, which land? The land that you're lying on, I'm giving it to you. So it's like, so basically, but Pashtus, when the Pasuk speaking that way, it didn't mean that Yaakov was just getting those Dalaramas. Rather, what the Pasuk meant to say was that Hashem's telling him that this area of land, the country, maybe a better way of saying it, the country that you're lying in, I'm giving you the whole country. It's as if someone's telling them, I own 10 houses, and you sleep in one of the houses, and then I say, the house that you slept in, I'm giving it to you. So what do I mean? I mean just the bed where you slept and I'm giving to you? No, I mean the whole house. But since I own 10 houses, I'm saying the house that you slept in, I'm giving it to you. Which one? The whole house, not just the Dalai Lamas. So same thing over here. He says the land that you are lying on or sleeping in, or the country. Our meaning is that over here, the country that you're sleeping in, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the whole thing. So that wasn't a problem. By the way, the Yafei Torah says the same idea on the Medrash. So, you know, the Al Pi Pshita Shemikra, this wouldn't be a problem. And the Rabbi brings a proof from this. We see this also earlier by Avram Avinu. By Avram Avinu also, Hashem says that Kol Arts Asher Ata Roya L'Chatanan, that all the land that you see, I'm going to give it to you. Well, so Hashem was only giving him the land that he's able to see. Like, how much land was Avram Avinu able to see? And even if he was on a high mountain, it's very difficult to see that. He was on a mountain, he was able to see literally all of Eretz Yisrael. And Lamai, what does he mean? He means the land that you're seeing, I'm giving you the entire land. The house that you, like, it's almost, I'm giving you a house. So you see the front of the house. That means you only own the front of the house. No, the house that you're seeing, I'm giving you the whole thing. So the land that you see, I'm giving you the entire country that you're looking at. Okay, so what was bothering Rashi actually was the words Shechevela. Because why does the Pasuk actually need to give it simon for the place by using those words? Everybody knows which land we're talking about. The Pasuk should have just said, Ha'aretz hazois l'cha l'zarecha t'nana. This land I'm giving to you and to your children. Why does the Pasuk need to say, or why does the Hashem need to tell Yaakov, the land that you're sleeping on, I'm going to give to you and to your descendants? We already know which land it's referring to. All it needs to say is Har Tzeis, and the Rebbe brings Har 28, over a bunch of places, four or five places, where this expression of Har Tzeis was said to Abraham, was said to Yitzchak, that the land was being given to them. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to Yaakov, he needs to give a simon for the place? Like, you should know, Yaakov, which land am I giving it to? It's the land that you're lying on. L'chayra Pashit, what's the purpose of that? And that's what's bothering Rashi. Why B'chalal say the word Shechevela? By Abram, we do find, though, that Hashem gives of a sim of which land it was referring to. We just mentioned that he says, Sona Enecha, raise up your eyes, the land that you see, I'm giving it to you. So usually it says Artazais. By Abram, we do find that one time he says, but that makes sense because you're giving someone a gift, you want to show him the land. He says, you know, look around, have a certain recognition of the land that you're going to be given. But by just saying the land that you're lying on is literally just giving you a simon. It's not actually enhancing the gift or giving him any type of recognition in the gift, appreciation for the gift. So what would be the point of that? So therefore, Rashi had to say that the purpose of Shechevelah was, it's teaching us that Hashem folded the land under him. And the idea of folding the land under him was, that was the idea of Baal Batashkeit. That's like the Medrash says. Right, so the words themselves, that Balamid, or words which you use, was Kippal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Eretz Yisrael Tachtav, that Hashem folded all of Eretz Yisrael under him. What does that mean, that Eretz Yisrael is folded under him? That means when there's something which is under you, you have control over it. Like that, just like the Medrash says, so the Amar Inchi, like people say, everyone understands it. People say when something's under your head, you have complete control over it. So Rashi's, when he uses the words Kibal Kadosh Baruch Hu Kol Eretz Yisrael Tachtav, that Hashem folded Eretz Yisrael under him, so Tachtav means that it was literally under him. That means Yaakov had control over it. So that already shows the Inyan of Baal HaBatashkeit. So there he does agree with the Medrash. So first thing that Hashem was telling him, that A, you're going to have the idea of Shechevelah is not just I'm trying to be misaming which place I'm giving you a simon of which land. It's more than that. I'm also giving you Baal HaBatashkeit. Just like when you're lying on a piece of land, you have control of everything under you. Well, then you're going to have, you have control right now of Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi is not satisfied with that, and he has to add the second idea that was also around. Why? Okay, so let's look at the difference by Avram and by Yaakov. By Avram, we also find this idea that Hashem wanted him to have Baal HaBatashkeit over the land. Hashem tells him, Kum hishalach ba'aretz, go walk in the land, the arka, the rakba, and al pipshut shemikra, the purpose of him walking the land, he wasn't making a kinyan, wasn't in order to get rid of the ketrugim l'mayla of the satan, the pipshut shemikra, that Hashem wanted him to walk the land in order that he should show Baal HaBatashkeit. And the idea is that Hashem was giving him the promise of Elcha Tanana to be felt by Avram in such a way, in such an oifen, that he should act that he's already the Balabas of the land, as if it's already become his land. In other words, let's say you're living in a house. So you can live in a house that you're renting. So you live in a house that you're renting. It's not yours. So you don't really care about it so much. You don't paint it. You don't love it. You don't get to know every nook and cranny because it's not really your home. You know, you're just there temporarily. But then you could be living in a house and you're renting it. But you know, at the end of the year, it's going to belong to you. Or, you know, eventually you're going to inherit this piece of this house. So when you know that this house will eventually belong to you, you know, you're not living there temporarily. This is something that you're going to own. So already at that moment, even right now, you don't own it. You're renting it. But you know that this house will be yours. So therefore, you settle in completely. You start renovating. You start taking care of it. It's a different type of living. So same thing by Avram. Yes, it didn't belong to him now, but Hashem wants him to feel that this tavtacha is so true, and it's going to happen, that already from this moment, you could already start living in it as if you're the balabas. Therefore, he tells him to walk the land, go the width, the length. This is all showing that you can go wherever you want. This is yours. You could already at this point, you might not own it, but you're the balabas over this land. You're able to do whatever you wanted. Masha in came by Yaakov. What happens? Yaakov was already sleeping. Hashem comes to him in a dream and tells him that this land that you're lying on is belonging to you. How does that Yaakov, that doesn't make Yaakov feel like a balabas? Is Yaakov doing anything to show that he's a balabas? He's already sleeping. Hashem didn't even tell him to lie down. He's already sleeping. He didn't do anything. So by Avram, he's showing a balabatishkeit. He's doing an act. He's walking. He's this. He's going wherever he wants. He's showing balabatishkeit. How is Yaakov showing balabatishkeit? He's literally not doing anything. He's sleeping, and Hashem gave him the land. He didn't even lie down in order to show balabatishkeit. Rather, it all came from Hashem. Hashem gave it to him. So therefore, what was being affected by Yaakov Avinu was this that kippah kadosh baruch hu kol eretz yisrael taktav. What was the point of that? So therefore, Rashi has to answer that it is adding another important detail. The detail that it's adding is that as a remez loish tineich lekavish laban. That what does this mean? That this that Yaakov was lying on the land, and by lying on the land, and all of Eretz Yisrael is under him, that's making it that Yaakov's balabatishkeit over the land has come easy. Hashem gave him balabatishkeit, but how did Hashem give him the balabatishkeit? He didn't give him the balabatishkeit like by Avram, where the purpose of giving Hashem gave him the balabatishkeit, and it was in a way that Hashem wanted him to make it. The way how he got the balabatishkeit is by making it his, by doing things that would make him feel that the promise has already happened. By Yaakov, it wasn't like that. Rather, the way Hashem gave him the balabatishkeit in a way that he didn't need to do anything. It was something which happened on its own. You're lying down, and the land was given to you. So Hashem was telling him, just like by you, how did I give you the balabatishkeit over the land? You didn't need to do anything like Avram. You don't need to make it... that by Avram, the purpose again was why he had to do something, was in order to feel like it. By Yaakov, that wasn't the point at this point that he should feel like it's his. Rather, what Hashem was telling Yaakov is that just like you now have balabatishkeit over this land, because I've given it to you. Similarly, your children will have balabatishkeit over the land without them having to do anything. So that's what it means, that it's a remez, that when your children will eventually come to conquer the land, it would be very easy for them to conquer it. Meaning is that the balabatishkeit that they're going to get, how are they going to get the balabatishkeit? They're not getting literally the balabatishkeit by just lying on it. By Yaakov, he literally, it was a big miracle. He lied on top of all Eretz Yisrael, and that was the chazakah he made over Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden would be making their chazakah by conquering it. But this chazakah that they're making, and over there, it's not just maybe it's mamash akinya, they're going to own it. This kibush, which is a form of chazakah, will be done in a way that's very easy for them. It'd be as if I'm going to do it all. In other words, as it says by the Navi, Ani Yoshin Amitasi Ve'ata Oise. Chizkiya Malach said to Hashem, I'm lying on my bed and you did. Like we know that Chizkiya was surrounded by Sancheriv and Hashem did a big miracle and saved Chizkiya. So the idea was that Chizkiya didn't do anything. He was lying on his bed and Hashem made a big miracle and all the armies of Sancheriv ran away. So similarly, when it's Binoich L'Kavsh L'Banav, it's going to be easy as if they were lying down in Eretz Yisrael and all of a sudden Hashem gave it to them. They literally not have to do anything. And the Rebbe points out in R36, Tarashi and Devar in Perak Aleph Pasuches, that Rashi says over there, that if the Yidden wouldn't have done the chait of the Meraglim, that there wouldn't have been any type of ear, wouldn't have been any complaints, and they wouldn't have needed any war. That when they would have come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem would have literally have given to them, and they didn't need to do anything. But since they, with sin, the Chetam Raglim, they weren't zeichah to such a high level of a bracha. So even then, it was great miracles when they conquered the land of Eretz Yisrael, but unfortunately, they weren't zeichah to be able to happen in as easy of a way. It's interesting just to point out what I brought to you at the beginning about this idea of, you know, something which is b'koyach, I'm becoming b'poyel. But again, b'pshutei shemikra, we don't hold to that type, particular type of concept. So the avtacha of Hashem will happen, but the question is, you know, to what degree will that happen? Will it be, you know, the most comfortable, peaceful sleep? You know, little nightmares here and there, you get woken up a little bit uncomfortable. So same thing over there. When Yeshua conquered the land, it was generally speaking with great miracles and they were easily able to conquer it. But it wasn't that they had to do something. And the last point that the Rebbe points out is that we see in Rashi, Kiddush, even over the Gemara. Because according to the Gemara, they needed to do a p'ula. That it'll be easy for their children to conquer, but they still needed to do some type of p'ula to conquer it. So right, Hashem made it easier for them. You know, got rid of the Ketrugim, whatever it is, it somehow made it much easier for them to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but it was like the Dalet Amos. You'll be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael just like the Dalet Amos. Okay, so it's a little bit of a p'ula. Hashem came by Rashi, it had nothing to do with Dalet Amos. The point of lying down on it was, just like by lying down, you're taking Balabatishkeit over Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, the Yidden will be able to easily take Balabatishkeit over Eretz Yisrael, without them having to do anything. They're just lying down and Hashem will give it to them. So this explains, again, so why doesn't he hold the Gemara? Rashi doesn't want to explain like the Gemara, because according to the Gemara, it's not there, Pshuta Shemikra, because how, by folding the land under them, would it make it easier for his children to conquer it? Regarding the Medrash, it seems like Rashi does hold to the Medrash, but he's not satisfied with the Medrash, because what was the purpose of showing Baal HaBatishkeit in this way of him just lying down on the land? But what was the purpose of that? By Avraham, there was a certain purpose, because that made him feel like he was the Baal HaBas already. But by Yaakov, Hashem was the one that did everything. He was the one that folded Eretz Yisrael onto him. So he didn't do anything to actually show any type of balabatishkeit. Alamai, the purpose was that just like the balabatishkeit of Yaakov, so Rashi explains that the balabatishkeit of Yaakov happened that Hashem just gave him the balabatishkeit, for that, at least for that moment. The balabatishkeit was given to him for that moment, that he had complete control over all of Eretz Yisrael. So who had been, his children would be easily able to get complete control over Eretz Yisrael without having them to do anything. So it's interesting, yeah. So it's interesting, I just want to point out, like this whole idea of the Balabatishkeit that the Rebbe is saying by Avraham and Yaakov, when I was learning the Sikhim really until this moment, I was understanding is that there's ownership and then there's Balabatishkeit, like a control over the land. And I was assuming that Hashem did actually give them control of the land for them to do whatever they wanted, even though they didn't have ownership. So they had certain rights, you know, certain rights they would have. But now that I'm thinking it over, it's very well possible that Hashem wasn't literally giving them Balabatishkeit, but rather by Avraham, Hashem wanted Avraham to have such a trust in what was given to him, it's as if he was a Balabas. So he's walking the length, the width and the length. That's something a Balabas would do. He's like looking over his land. He's able to go where he wants. So that was to show, it was to express that Hashem wanted Avram to not just had a promise, but he wanted Avram Tzadatzmek to feel that he was the Balabas. Meaning is he wanted him to make this promise something which was true by him, that he could feel it in his kishkes. So I don't know if Papel he was actually given Balabatishkeit, or rather it was, you know, as Ke'ilu was showing Gevayim. Like a Balabas. And similarly by Yaakov. It could be that Hashem wasn't giving him Balabatishkeit, but at that moment in time, he had Balabatishkeit. But Peol, Yaakov was lying over the whole land, so he had literally Balabatishkeit, a certain control over the land at that moment of time. And what was the purpose of Yaakov having control over the land at that point in time? By Avraham, it was in order to make the promise feel true to him. By Yaakov, it wouldn't have made the promise feel true to him. Rather, by Yaakov, the purpose was as a remnant for his children. That just like at that moment in time, it was something which he had Balabatishkeit over. Similarly, the children would have Balabatishkeit over it in a very easy way, even easier then conquering Dalai Lama, so it would literally be Ani Yashon Amitasi At Aisa. So Rebbe says in Pasha Deverta that it's enough that you either just lie down in it, and all the Umas Ha'elam will be made of that all Eretz Yisrael, with all of its boundaries as an Achlus Eilam to Am Yisrael, even Ham Gans Eretz Yisrael, on King Melchama. So that is the Sicha, the Rashi itself. The Rebbe finishes off in Sif Tes and Yud, Apipnimisi Yanyanim, and also a Inyan Nifla. So regarding the Inyan Apipnimisi Yanyanim, it's actually interesting. It doesn't seem like it's Yena Shoter. It seems like the Rebbe is going to explain really the Gemara Apipnimisi Yanyanim. Therefore, it might be a Dik. He says Apipnimisi Yanyanim, he doesn't say the Yena Shoter. Because he tells us that the Baal of Ula, the Mittler Rebbe, in his Maimar Yidua Ata Echad, tells us that the Dalet Amas of a person is merely the Bechinas Yechidish Benatesh. Because it's such a high level of makif that it can't actually rest upon the person itself, but rather it's mispashed around the Dalet Amas. That's the makim of the person. So it's mispashed in the area of where the person is. And therefore, we have certain lachas of kinyan, and that within the Dalet Amas, you're able to make a kinyan even if you didn't pick it up, but it's in your Dalet Amas. That all comes to because the Dalet Amas have a shaykh to because of the level of Mechida. So he says, this that Hashem folded Eretz Yisrael under him was under the Dalet Amas of Yaakov. So that means Yaakov was able to be kinyan all Eretz Yisrael because it was within his Dalet Amas. So in other words, that means is that Eretz Yisrael is connected to Yaakov, and Bederech Mamela, of course, all of Bnei Yisrael, through this inyan of the Yechida. So our connection to Eretz Yisrael is with the Yechida. Or our bialis is connected with the union of Chida. So this explains, of course, since Hashem was folded it under us. So one of the questions is how by folding Eretz Yisrael under us that makes it easy for us to conquer. So the reasoning is because folding Eretz Yisrael within our Dalet Amas means that he was folding it under the level of Yechida. And regarding the level of Yechida, we know that there's no menagid against the level of Yechida. So therefore, since there's nothing that opposes the union of Yechida, so therefore Eretz Yisrael would be given to us in a way, B'derech Memela, in a way of Shalom. Just to explain the concept a little bit, is that everything, every created item has some type of something which could be menagadit. But when we talk about, let's go to Hashem. Hashem, there's nothing which is menagad Hashem, because Hashem created it all. Good and evil are things that Hashem created, and they all have their purpose. Gashmius and Ruchnius are things Hashem created, and everything is ultimately to reveal Hashem. It's part of Hashem's plan, it's part of Hashem's tainug, it's part of Hashem's Ratzin. So when we get to the level of Yechida, Yechida is the Etzem of a Nefesh. The Etzem of a Nefesh is connected as one with Hashem. So therefore, just like Hashem, there's nothing that can go against Hashem. Also, the essence of a Yid, which is one with Hashem, there's nothing that goes against the Etzem of a Yid. On the contrary, everything is really just part of the plan for the Yechida to be able to fulfill its mission. Whether it's Gashmius or Ruchnius, every part of it is ultimately, everything in the world is created to be Meshamash Ashkaini, is created for the L'Kavoyt Hashem. And therefore, everything ultimately has a purpose. And the purpose would be to make a dirbat achtayim. So therefore, regarding the love of the Yechida, there's nothing that it could be menagit to the Yechida, because on the contrary, everything is really just, is just a part of, or like a prat within the Yechida's purpose to make a dirbat achtayim. So just like by Hashem, everything in the world is just a prat in fulfilling Hashem's ratzin. So similarly, by Yechida, everything that the Yechida, each person, and his makim ba'ilim, the areas and the things that he's connected to in his lifetime, all that's connected to what his mission is. So mitzad the love of Yechida, both the Gashmis and the Ruchnis, the Ra and the Toiv, that he's connected with is part of the plan for him to ultimately fulfill his mission. Therefore, Eretz Yisrael is connected to the idea of Yechida. So therefore, it's in a way of Shalom. Because Shalom is the idea is when both sides realize that they're really one, or they both have the same purpose. So you have two individuals that think they're fighting for two different things, they have different desires, different wills, but eventually, if they can come to the realization that they both actually have the same goal and they're really one, and whatever, they're all trying to really fulfill the same goal, then they unite. Oh, we have one mission, therefore we unite in a way of Shalom. So instead of fighting and one being about the other, we realize, oh, we both have the same purpose. I do it, you know, through Gura, you do it through Chesed, but we are all ultimately trying to accomplish the same thing, and we need to talk to both of us together in order to fulfill this purpose, and therefore that brings the idea of Shalom. Okay, and the Rebbe finishes off with an Inyan Nifla, and we see in Pirush Rashi, the Gabi, the Drush, and the Gemara. That the Gemara, it says that the reason why Hashem folded Eretz Yisrael under his children in order to make it easy to conquer. Meaning is that Hashem put into Eretz Yisrael a koyach that if the Yidden want to conquer, it'll be very easy for them. But if Yidden don't want to conquer it, Chas B'Shalom, okay, so that's their choice. Hashem just made it easy for them to conquer. And he says, Rahman al-Islam, that there are certain Yidden that are tiny, that, you know, not of all Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Yidden. Says Rashi al-Tayr tells us that even only the Umas Ha'ilim will come and say that you're stealing the land. And Hashem gives an answer that Bertzoyna Hashem gave it to them, Bertzoyna He took it from them and gave it to us. So we have an answer. And therefore, if we would say this answer with an emes, and we say it with that we are the shliach of Hashem with the proper tekef and these are dvar ma'yitzim alav, that would, it would completely nullify any claims of the Goyim. But then what happens is that you didn't come with this taina and say that the Kol Eretz Yisrael is not really relevant to us. But either way, the point is that from the Gemara, it's just Hashem makes it easy, but not necessarily that He's commanding us that we have to do it. But when we look at Rashi, Rashi tells us it's a remes. Ah, Hashem is giving a remes. So why would Hashem give a remes? This itself, that Hashem is giving a remes, this is a hasayrus and a sinis sakayach, and it's actually a demand for us to demand it. Because the whole Bria is miyusad on this idea that Hashem, whatever Hashem created, He never, leibar dever echel levatala. So alachas kamo kamo, Hashem is meramis something that of course is not a dever levatala, especially when it's a nez gadol. So of course it was, the remes was to tell him that not to, it was to tell him that this is what will happen. He says, that according to Rashi, when it says shitahei, doesn't mean that it will be or could be. It means that it's for sure going to be. It's a remes that it will be easy for them to conquer. Not that it's a remes that when they come, if they come to conquer it, it will be something which is easier. Rather, it's a remes lo shitahei, that it will be something which will be easy for his children to conquer. Meaning is that it'll happen, bepayo. So this is the demand that we have to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. Because of Ticha Tayra Shasayf Yisrael, Lasis Shuba Sekon Musa, and Kayol Eich, that Ali Yidin, will Velenstein Nach Bagalusa, even while they're still in Galus, they'll have the Emes Tekif, and they'll hold, and we'll have control over all of Eretz Yisrael for all of its boundaries, and it will be in a situation of Miyad Hainigalim, Aydem Shiach Tzakenu, Birhera, Birmenu, Mamish. Just wanted to do actually one Ha'ara with you, an interesting one. In Ha'ara 11, the Rebbe brings in the Pnim that there was like when we were asking the question on Rashi, that Rashi says it was just a remes. The Rebbe asks, sends us such a great miracle of folding all of Eretz Yisrael under Yaakov just to give a remes. Just tell him the remes bediber. Why did he have to fold Eretz Yisrael? Just tell him bediber that the Eretz Yisrael will be so easily conquered like the four amas that you're lying on. What would be the purpose of folding it under him? So in Ha'ara 11, the Rebbe says, Kamesha Shak V'tayu Meforshi Rashi, like the Rashi, the Garaya, and the Skaldava, the Yitzhavai, Eich Etrelius Neskazad. They actually have a Shak V'tayu. How could there be such a great miracle? How could this miracle happen? And the question really is, how could Hashem fold all Beit Yisrael? What happened to all the cities? What happened to the people? Like everyone's under Yaakov. Does that mean everyone got crushed? You know, what happened to everything that was going on? And they give different explanations. The Garaya, And most of them are not really kipshutai. What they say is, I understand them correctly, that the Gur Aryeh says is that the idea of makim space, the foundation or the element of space is dalet ames. That's the, wherever we find the idea of space mentioned, at least the minimum amount of space is dalet ames. So the dalet ames is the yisoid of space, that the element of space is really four ames. What's the shlemus of space? That's 400 parsa by 400 parsa, as we see by Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash tells us, was 400 parsa by 400 parsa. So the shlemus of Makom is 400 by 400. But what's the yesoid? What's the foundation? What's the element or the klal of it would just be Dalet Ames. So really Yaakov, so it seems like he's saying is that Yaakov really only was sleeping on Dalet Ames. But since Dalet Ames is the yesoid of all Eretz Yisrael, so within that yesoid, you also have everything that comes out of it. Meaning the 400 and 400 is just the shlemus of what he already had. So by him lying down on the yesoid, the main element of Eretz Yisrael, that automatically includes the rest of Eretz Yisrael, because within the Dalet Ames, you're able to have, within like a klal, you have all the prat. Like that type of idea, like you have an atom, all the energy of an atom bomb. So he had the Dalet Ames, he had the essential element, and therefore he had Kigul all of Eretz Yisrael. The Maskul of David gives a different shot, but it's the same idea. He says is that we know that when Yaakov was sleeping there, Hashem took Har Meriah and put it under him. So it says on Har Meriah was the Evan HaShasiyah. So Evan HaShasiyah is the foundation stone of the whole world. So Yaakov was lying down on Evan HaShasiyah, and by lying down on Evan HaShasiyah, which is the foundation of the whole world, and everything comes from it. So by lying down on Evan HaShasiyah, which is the foundation of the whole world, so when you have the foundation, you really have control of all of Eretz Yisrael. Right? So similar, very similar to the Gerari. The Gerari is that when you have control of the element, you have control of the Makim. So he has control of the Dalai Lamas. Therefore, he also has the control of the Shlemus of the Dalai Lamas. He's saying is that you had the Evan and Shasiya, so therefore you had the control over Eretz Yisrael. Mafreshim do ask, by the way, Eretz Yisrael is the site of the whole world, not just the Eretz Yisrael, but that is a question they ask, and of course they don't answer it. One of the reasons they don't like his pshat. Be'er Yitzchak is another pshat, is that what Hashem did is that he folded under him, means he put the expression he uses, he put the, Hashem chose that that area will be the head and the pipe line of Eretz Yisrael. That all of the Shefa and the energy and the bracha and the kedusha of all Eretz Yisrael, as we know, that Tal Piyos, that Har Moriah is called the Tal Piyos, the mountain that everybody turns to. Therefore, it's the head of all of Eretz Yisrael, because all the brachas and the blessings come from Har Moriah. So he was lying on Har Moriah, which is the place Hashem chose basically for that place to be the source of all the world. So the tzad hashava, all these pshatim are, is that Avram was really just lying on his Dalai Lamas. But somehow, by lying on that Dalai Lamas, that was really lying on all Eretz Yisrael, because it was the foundation of Eretz Yisrael, or the energy of Eretz Yisrael came from there, or all the bracha, the shefa, the kedusha came from there. So he was really lying on the main part, which would be koilel really the rest of all of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the pshat they give. But the Rebbe says, but b'yurim einayim kepshutai ayim sham. But their pshats, their explanations are not pshutai, and they're not at all hinted to in Rashi. In kamakayim, so he doesn't like their pshatim, because the all these pshatim are not something which is hinted in Rashi. Therefore, papashtas Rashi means it kepshutai. I'll just point out that according to their pirush, and then he brings the b'chaskuni alapasik. Look at the b'chaskuni. He says shakol zahaya b'chalaim. All this was in a dream. That the whole thing that happened was actually just a dream. So again, that would explain how the miracle happens. How? Why weren't the people crushed? They weren't crushed because it's just a dream. But as explained many times, the Lashon Rashi alatayra is the first rule is it has to be kapshute, that would be understood for a 5-year-old. Which means hanshi kipa kapshute, means is that it was literally folded over. But the prophecy was in a dream. Meaning is, Hashem told, Yaakov was sleeping, and he had a nevuah. And Hashem told him that the land that you're lying on, which Rashi explains, what does it mean, the land that he's lying on, because all of Eretz Yisrael was folded under him, that land I'm giving it to you. So what does it mean? Yaakov was literally lying down on some ground. He wasn't talking about in the land that you're lying down on in the dream, I'm giving it to you. And this land that he was lying down in the dream, all of Eretz Yisrael was folded under it. No, obviously what it means is Kipshutai Pashut Shat would mean that Hashem is telling him that in your waking life, you're lying down on that land, and I folded all of Eretz Yisrael under that land, and I'm giving it over to you. So therefore, Bapashtus, this was Kipshutai, that this particular miracle happened. And the question in the Sikha is, why such an amazing miracle that Hashem literally folded all of Eretz Yisrael? And it was in such a way that everything was under him. At the same time, nobody got crushed, and I guess nobody even realized what was happening. And nonetheless, they remained okay. So that was part of the miracle. And the question is, why did that happen? Just to make a remez.